Okay. Here we go. The Gemara explains that usually windows that were in the house at the time of the Gemara, they were narrow on the inside and wide on the outside. This way, as the sun is going by, you have light coming in from all directions. While the Beis HaMikdash was the opposite, because the light was shining out. Okay? What is that allegory trying to tell me? That we are all a Beis HaMikdash, Ubabi Mishkan Evna, and the light that's within us was supposed to shine out. Whatever we have, we're supposed to try to give off to others. I know that, no thank you. I know that a friend of mine who is a Chabad Chassid, he said that the Chabad upbringing is, if you learn Aleph, teach Aleph. You know, Aleph and Bet, teach Aleph and Bet. But whatever you know, you should try to spread, should spread this light. Now, I once heard this rabbi saying that people always talk about, if I would have known what was going on in the Holocaust, I would have sold the shirt off my back to save Jews. Well, today there's a spiritual Holocaust going on all around us. The majority of Jews, you know, are not religious. Many of them are not connected at all. It's our job to try to spread the light. Okay. What is the mitzvah of tochacha? Okay. Rebuke. Musar. Why do I do it? So there's two ways of looking at it. One is a mitzvah ben adam l'makom. How could it be a mitzvah ben adam l'makom? The Rambam, in discussing the mitzvah of avas Hashem, says included in this mitzvah is telling everyone all about the belief in God and Judaism. Right? If you had any siblings who got engaged, so when they got engaged, they were so in love, they were so excited that they wanted to fix up all their friends. Right? You now feel this amazing feeling, so you want all your friends to feel the same thing. So that's what how we're supposed to feel. If we feel connected to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, we want others to feel the same way. And if so, telling others about Torah, mitzvot, halachot would fall under the category of mitzvah ben adam le'makom. I love a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I want to spread the word. Another way to look at it, I think the more obvious way, is to mitzvah ben adam le'chaveru. The Rambam says, calls this when he talks about tochacha. What is tochacha? I rebuke him to bring him back. Now, what would be an obvious nafka mina? What if you won't be able to bring him back? Do you have an obligation to just protest? If you say, if the mitzvah ben adam le'makom, maybe yeah. The mitzvah ben adam le'chaveru, so then no. Right? Nothing's going to be gained by protesting. And as I'm going to get to soon, sometimes the way people do give musar and give tochacha actually has a negative effect. So, you know, it maybe makes you feel better. And I've heard people say, why do I go to protests? I shouldn't forget how important this is. Maybe. But I don't know if that's what it's all about. It's either about spreading God's word or it's about you bringing people back. If your protest is not going to do it, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Mitzvah in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah. Lo tisnat achicho bilvavecha. Don't hate your fellow Jew. Hocheach tochiach et amisecha. Rebuke him. Lo tisalav chet. The Ramban divides up into three parts. Lo tisnat achicho bilvavecha. Don't keep it bottled up inside of you. Right now this guy is doing something. Happens in this yeshiva all the time. You share a dorm room. And one guy does something that's driving you crazy. Sometimes more than one. But someone's doing something that's driving you crazy. And you say, oh, I'm going to be big about this. I'm not going to say anything. What happens? Just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So what are you supposed to do? The next part. Tell him, hey, stop talking on the phone late at night. We're trying to sleep. Don't turn on the lights when you come in at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're all sleeping. Whatever it is. And if you do, third part, you won't have the sin of hating him. So Ramban puts it all together. There are times when I need to get things off my chest. How to do it, we're still going to get to. But trying to just say, I'll ignore the situation, usually doesn't help because it affects us. But I would say more, the Ramban talks about this, than just avoiding hatred. There's this concept of arevut. What is arevut? I'm responsible for my fellow Jew. Now, here is one of the most important ideas about giving musar. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, said, Tochacha is from the word hochacha. What's hochacha? Anyone know Hebrew?
Proving.
We often translate tocha as rebuke. I am telling him off. He says, anyone who tells someone off, anyone who's been told off, we know that usually that doesn't really help. Right? Someone tells you off, doesn't really change you at all. What is really supposed to be happening here? And you said, shut up, that guy should be listening to it, whatever. What is really supposed to be happening here? Hochacha is supposed to be proving to the person this is really what you want to do. Right? We once said in the beginning of the year, famous Rambam, we all learned Gittin, okay, that if a man doesn't want to give his wife a get, you're allowed to beat him till he gives the get. Makin oto ad shiomer, anyone know? Rotza ani. Hit him till he says, I want to do it. Why have to say till he says, I want to do it? Because you have to give the get willingly. Now, we all look at that and go, that's pretty funny. Just keep hitting him till he finds, okay, Rotza ani. Does he really want to do it? No. And the answer the Rambam says is, yes, he does. Deep down, the person wants to do what's right. But right now, what's getting in the way? I don't know, his hatred for his wife, his enmity, his pride, his ego, whatever it is. Why are people sinning right now? Deep down, our neshamot are pure. We start every morning saying, Elokai neshama shenatata bi tahorahi. It's pure. What happened? We've invited the Eitzahara in. That's not really us. So if you can convince somebody that this is what you want to do, so then you have a much better chance of affecting a change than just telling him off and saying, you're bad, you're wrong, you're terrible. So if one is capable of doing that, then he should give tochacha. If not, maybe not, as we'll see soon. To emphasize this point, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Dalet Amud Bet, Mishnah actually, that says, Parato shel Rebbe Eliezer ben Azariah. Yotzat perutzua sheben karnei shelo ratzon chachamim. The cow of Rebbe Eliezer ben Azariah went out on Shabbat, no Eruv, and had like some sort of ribbon in its horn. Serves no purpose, and therefore it's carrying. Not only can you not do a malach on Shabbos, say it in Kiddush, ata uvincha ubita, right? Ubehem techa. Your behemah cannot do malacha on Shabbat. And it says Rebbe Eliezer ben Azariah's cow carried on Shabbat. Says the Gemara, what? Elizabeth and Azariah? So, nah, it wasn't really him. But his neighbor's cow was doing it. And since he could have spoken to him and did not, we are attributing the sin to Elizabeth and Azariah. This is scary. According to this Gemara, if you can rebuke your friend and you don't, you're held responsible. If you can rebuke your family and you don't, you're held responsible. If you are, I don't know, the shul rabbi, you could rebuke your congregation and you don't, you're responsible. If you are, I don't know, the gadol hador, you rebuke all of Am Yisrael and you don't, you are held responsible. As Spider-Man said, the more power you have. Anyway, so if you have that power, you have more responsibility and you're held responsible. And if so, one could say, I am chayev in tariag mitzvot multiplied by the number of people I can have an effect on. It's pretty scary. And this is all based on the concept of arevut. Kol Yisrael arev mizeh bazeh. We are, what's an arev? A guarantor. I am put in this world, I'm a guarantor. All the people that I can affect, if I don't, that's on me. Chavetz Chaim says in one of his many, many svarim that even if I'm good, but I don't care about others being good, I am selfish. And he goes on to say, we read Yonah on Yom Kippur, not just so that we have a hit'orerut of tshuva the way Yonah did, but because Yonah had a responsibility to the other people. And we should realize we have a responsibility to other people. The Smak, Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, explicitly says, Tocha is based on Aravut. And the Gemara goes on to say, very scary story, says that God never goes back on a good decree. On a bad decree, yeah, right? promised destruction, people do tshuva, changes his mind. But if God promised good, never goes back, except once. What was the one time? By Churban Bayis Rishon. We have psukim that talk about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Gavriel, go mark the heads of the tzaddikim, because I'm going to destroy now Yerushalayim, and I want to save the tzaddikim. And the angel that was the prosecuting angel, the Midas HaDin, came and said, why are you saving them? God said, you didn't get the memo. I said, they're the tzaddikim. But they could have influenced their neighbors. So God says, that's a good point, it's a good point. But I happen to know it wouldn't have worked. To which the Midas HaDin said, they didn't know that. God says, you know what, Gabriel, killing the tzaddikim first. So here was God was going to say this, tzaddikim, they got killed first. That's an awesome responsibility, right? As I said, we're responsible, tariyak, tariyak times, everyone we could influence. If you can't, onus rachmana patre, right? I have nothing to do with this guy over here. He doesn't know me from Adam. I don't have any responsibility. But if I know somebody, I could influence him. It's my responsibility. What that means is as follows. I go to shul, and I don't talk during davening. But I could have prevented others from talking. And I get up to Shemayim, God's going to say to me, why'd you talk during davening? The fact that I could have gotten other people to stop, it's like I'm sinning. Now the flip side is, if I get people to do mitzvot, I get tzar for their mitzvot as well. Right? So again, I come in as a Rebbe in yeshiva. I've got this huge responsibility. If I get people to turn their life around, fantastic. And if I don't, or worse yet, I turn them off, well, that's on me. They came into my sphere of influence. That's on me. Yes. Maybe I didn't do it well. I mean, that's on me. I'm going to be blamed. Right? If I could have done it, let's say I didn't put enough effort. I remember the first year I was in Etziv Aryeh, still back in Yeshivat HaKotel, and in our prior life, in the old place, as it's sometimes referred to, I kept fighting with Rabina not to throw out one of the guys in my yeshiva, in my shir. I viewed it as, he's my student, he's like my kid, I want to let you throw out my kid, not letting you throw him out. In the end, he decided not to come back after Pesach, and his best friend blossomed without him there. At the end of the year, I went over to Rabina and said, I was wrong, you were right. Rabina magnanimously didn't throw it in my face. He said, you know, we do the best we can. And he said, I didn't know that was going to happen. What I did notice was, you were spending the majority of your time with this one guy. And had you just given like 10% of your time to the other guys, they would have flourished. But I viewed it, he's my biggest challenge. I'm going to take on the biggest challenge. But meanwhile, it was just taking up all my time. And who knows, maybe I ignored other guys who could have done well. So to answer your question, I don't know if I did my job correctly. Now, Minchas Chinah says, where does this come from? Lo tamod al dam reyacha. Who could tell me what is that generally translated as? What's lo tamod al dam reyacha? Can't stand idly by the blood of your friend. If someone's in danger, you have to save him. Says the Minchas Chinuch. This is absolutely true. But if so, kal v'chomer, I can't stand by idly when I watch my friend's spirituality die. Right? If I have to save his physical life, kal v'chomer, I have to save his spiritual life. So lo tamod demreyacha. You see someone drowning spiritually. You can't stand idly by. Rafi Nassimi was asking me today, can I speak to one of his friends, convincing him to come to yeshiva next year? I said, I'll be happy to try, but I got to tell you, if some stranger that I didn't know tried to convince me, I doubt very highly I would listen. I said, you talk to him. I'll give you ideas, but he's your friend. Right? I think it's great that Rafi cares, because that's what you should do. Lo tamar odam reyacha. But to just pass the buck and say, I'll get the rabbi to do it, I don't even know if that's the right move. When I was in high school, I think if some stranger just tried to speak to me, I would not have listened. So I told Rafi, I'll help you, but do it. It's great that you care. Do it yourself. If you say it's lo tamod adam reyecha, or others say hashavas aveda, next year we're going to learn bav metzia. You have to return lost objects. So the halacha is, anyone know? Let's say I see two lost objects. One is Sally's, one is mine. I only have room to take back one of them. Do I have to take back Sally's, or can I take back mine?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Nope, I can take back my own. Okay? I take back my own. Based on that, also, I'll give you another case. Do I have to risk my life to save your life? No. So there are those who say, I should do Kiruv, but not at the expense of me being pulled under. That's why, for example, you know, sometimes you have, any of your communities have like these kolel mitzions or stuff like that, where they come to communities, a whole bunch of guys. It's to give each other chizuk. Because let's say you're one person. Chabad does this. I find it like very admirable, but they don't always succeed. You have one person go off by himself in the middle of nowhere with no chizuk. And they try to affect the change. It's possible, I don't know, let's say I go by myself to be a rabbi in Binghamton. You know, let's say, for argument's sake, there's no frum Jews in Binghamton. It's just me and a lot of irreligious, you know, Jews. Isn't there a good chance that I'll be pulled down instead of pulling them up? So if that's true, you have to ask a shaila, and that would be like this type of thing. This type of thing where my life takes precedence. My Hashavas Aveda takes precedence. From Noach Weinberg, from Aish, he wanted to argue, when does your life not take precedence? In a milchama. When it comes to Muhammad mitzvah, we don't look at the individual soldier. We say, you got to fight the war. And he says, right now, there's a Muhammad mitzvah. Jews are drowning and dying spiritually. And every man's got to go and fight. So again, there's a shaila you would have to ask, try to figure out. But it is something to think about. Tochacha. To what extent do I have to rebuke my friend? To what extent do I have to bother him? So I remember I was Shana Bet, I was in yeshiva, it's called BMT. I had a lot of friends in another yeshiva, and I used to go there on Shabbatot, and one guy there took a liking to me. Happened to be a like seventh generation, direct descent of Vilna Gaon, and he like knew Shas cold. So it was a little flattering that he kept trying to convince me to come to his yeshiva and learn with him, you know, Shana Gimel, we had a Chavrusa. And I was saying, no, I'm going to YU. I'm not trying to come back to Shana Gimel. And he came by bus from that yeshiva to BMT, where I was. And he'd do it time after time, trying to convince me. I said, you're wasting your time. And I'm not switching and going there. And he said, halacha is, I have to keep rebuking you till you hit me. So hit me. I said, well, I'm not hitting the Vilna Gaon, you know. He goes, well, then I'm going to keep fighting with you. Now, what he didn't tell me, Gemara says hit or curse. I might have cursed him out, but I didn't know that at the time. He only said hit. It says hit or curse. Anyway, I found that out later. Why was I a stupid Shana Beck? I didn't know anything. Anyway, so what does that mean? On the one end, do I have to keep, you know, annoying this guy till he hits me or curses me out? So that one Gemara seems to say that. Another Gemara says, talks about how people were mistakenly doing something wrong, and it says the rabbis didn't tell them. Why? Mutav shiyesh shogigin. Better they do it by mistake than they, you know, voluntarily violate the sin. Right now, they're doing it out of ignorance. Mutav shiyesh shogigin. So when do you decide which is it? When is it better for me to let a person live in his ignorance, his blissful ignorance? I remember I once said to one of my rabbis in YU, I said, why are you teaching this? You know, like, ignorance is bliss. To which he said to me, do you want to go through your life as an ignoramus? That really shut me up. I thought I threw a line at him and he just shut me up really quickly. So when do you say, better to let them be ignoramuses, or I have to keep telling them until he hits me? So there's a lot of answers to that. I'll tell you one. Tends to be talking to a person one-on-one or to a group. One-on-one, there's so much better chance that you can have an impact than when you're talking to a group. Any good principal with a group of students who messed up will not take them as a group. There is strength in numbers. When you come in with your friends, you all got caught doing fill in the blank. You're okay because there's a whole bunch of you and you're not backing down, and you're tough, and you're not going to do anything in front of your boys, and all, you know. But when it's one-on-one, much better chance that he gets through to you. So there are some who say, that's the criteria. One-on-one, keep at it. Like this guy who kept trying to convince me. If it's a group, you know, it's better to just let them do it, because chances are they're not going to listen. There's another one who goes even further and says, Kishem shemitzvah ladam lomar davar nishma. The way there's a mitzvah to say something that will be listened to, kach mitzvah ladam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. There's a mitzvah to not say anything if you know they're not going to listen. Why would that be?
For what you just said before?
Tell me. What's
so that they'll do it by accident?
First of all, yeah. Like the worst case scenario is you're like not a proficient convincer. So what do? You taught him enough that now he knows it's usser, but he's still not convinced that he's going to change. So up until now, he was, I don't know, talking on his phone on Shabbos, didn't think it was, I read, you're not letting him out of fire. There's no fire, right? Now you've convinced him that it's usser, but he's still not convinced that he's going to put away his phone. So great, now he's doing it amazing, right? So that would be one answer. I think there's even more to it. Let's go back to like my group setting. Let's say I get a job in your community. I'm going to be the rabbi. Your rabbi goes off. It's taking a year. He's got a sabbatical. He's going off for a sabbatical, and I'm going to be the interim rabbi for the year. And I come in the first Shabbos in this modern Orthodox community, and I tell everyone, every single woman has to cover her hair. There's a mitzvah in a Torah. If you don't cover your hair, your husband could divorce you. This is such a terrible thing. Everyone has to cover their hair. Okay, first of all, at Shabbos lunch, everyone's talking about the crazy rabbi who came in, an idiot, he doesn't know anything. Lashon Hara is being said about me at every Shabbos table in the community. But worse than that, I am now branded a fanatic. I said, you have to cover your hair. So the next week I talk about, you know, maybe we should try making brachas. No one's listening anymore. Because the fanatic rabbi's still there. They're counting down. There's only 51 more weeks till the rabbi finally comes back, you know? Like, I'm out. So sometimes being quiet is just like the better move, because saying something will have a detrimental effect on you, on them, on how they view Torah and Judaism. Give you an example. I have friends that work in Kiruv. Okay? They were told, point blank, let's say Asia Torah guys, they pick up people from the street. Okay? They bring in, they start teaching about Judaism. Someone's just asking a question. If you think that it's something that they won't be able to handle, you can make believe you don't know the answer. Let's say you got a guy and a girl that are coming together. Right? And they say, I heard that Judaism has like some whole weird thing about if a woman menstruates, like you can't like touch. There's something like that. These guys are living together as they're not married. They're backpacking through Europe, happen to stop in Israel. And what do you say? Says the Kirov specialist. You could say, I don't know, ask for something like that. I'm not really sure. I can look into it for you. And not get back to them. Because you know, if you tell them now, they won't even bother to come to the next class.
Then he'll seem uneducated.
Maybe. But he said, at this point, if you tell them that, they're out. Story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Who is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter?
My rabbi.
I know. The school that he went to was named after him. Okay, S.A.R. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, known as the person who started the Musar movement. So this is a beautiful story. He went into Germany. He was in a port city in Germany, where most of the people in the shul were working on Shabbos. Port community means they had export, import. And they were going to the port, and they were exporting, they were importing, they were writing things down. This was going on. He asked the rabbi to speak in the shul. He made sure there were no guests from, like, you know, Lithuania or whatever that would misconstrue what he's saying. Made sure it was just the people from the community. And he spoke about it. He said, everyone understands that our business has to keep functioning on Shabbos. If we didn't function on Shabbos, we wouldn't be able to keep up with our competitors. Nodding heads, he goes, but we don't need to write things down. We can unload and we can write it down later. We don't need to write it down on Shabbos. And people were like, yeah. And a few weeks later, he spoke again. And he said, it's obvious that we need to take the stuff off the ships. You know, they're docked there on Shabbos. We need to take it off. But we don't necessarily need to load up the ships on Shabbos. We could save that to a weekday. And people agreed to that. By the time he got there, the next time he was able to convince them we don't need to unload the ships as well. You go step by step. You have to understand sometimes what to say. I used to teach, I mean, now I still do, but I would teach, let's say, Hilchos Shabbos. I used to teach Hilchos Shabbos. I taught girls Hilchos Shabbos. Okay? And a girl will come over to me, like one of the first weeks, and said, I heard there's like laws about putting on makeup on Shabbos. And I would say, there are. And we'll get to it later on in the year. What's Shabbos now? I said, you're right. We'll get to it later in the year. I know they're not ready for it. Just like in the beginning of the year now. The guy comes over to Shana Alf, guy says, talk to me about Nagia. No one wants to hear about Nagia. Talking about Nagia is like what I used to say in high school when I wanted the Rebbe to talk and we just waste the time. Okay, talk about Nagia? No one listen. So I don't even bother in the beginning of the year. I wait till a guy starts caring about halacha before I'd say anything. Right? So do I know the halacha? Yeah. So as Shmuel said, it might seem disingenuous, but you have to sometimes know what to say, what not to say, when to say things. And I think this is all part of Kishem Shemitzvah, just like it's a mitzvah to say things that are going to be heard. It's a mitzvah to keep your mouth shut. Yeah.
Are you afraid that, like, you know, they get, like, let's say, like, they go ahead and they start coming more letters, and then, like...
They what?
Let's say these people, like, that factor, right? Let's say they come in and right. They just ask that question they want to know. And then, like, so they start, like, looking with more into Judaism, right? They become more religious or whatever. And, like, and they know that, like, anyone who's been to Yeshiva for more than, like, a week, like, already knows about this. And, like, so it was, like, a different lie to them. And now, like, there's, like, would they, like, be afraid that...
Person feigned ignorance. They don't lie to them. So I'm not really sure. Right? Get back to you. Never get back to the person. Get back to the person when the person's ready. I'll give you an amazing example of Kishen. The Vizhnitzer Rebbe once went into the home, knocked on the door of the manager of the bank. Invited him in, sat down, and he said, what can I do for you? And the Vizhnitzer Rebbe sat there for 5 minutes and didn't say anything. And then he got up, and he's ready to leave. And she was like, what was that all about? He said, I wanted Mekayim a mitzvah. So what mitzvah? He goes, there's a mitzvah. Kishem shem mitzvah lomar davar. It's a mitzvah to say something that will be heated. It's a mitzvah not to say anything. If it's not going to be heated. So in order not to say anything, I had to come and be in the situation where I could say something. And then I didn't. The vision of is very smart. So what does the bank manager obviously say? Well, what were you going to say to me? He goes, nah, I can't even say it to you because I say it to you, you're not going to be able to listen to it. He goes, no, try me. He goes, fine. There's this widow, and she can't make ends meet. And I was wondering if she could get a loan from the bank. But, like, she has no collateral, nothing to put up for the loan. And that manager goes, I'd love to help, but I can't give a loan without collateral. There's no way. I can't, like, just, I know. That's why I wasn't going to say anything. And he goes, fine, I'll give it a loan for my own money. So whatever. Like I said, the vision of the Rebbe was smart. Knew how to do things. So that doesn't always work. But it's a move I should tell Rabina. Anyway, I saw it in one of Rav Zevin's books, Sipurei Chasidim. It was a very cool move. But if you're absolutely positive the person's not going to listen, nothing is gained by it. So you have to like play it by ear. Now, it doesn't mean just because someone's chiloni is not going to listen to you. Many people who are absolutely irreligious became religious, right? But it usually doesn't happen because someone yelled at him and said, you're an irreligious person, become religious. So you have to figure out ways, you know, what to say. You know, a very interesting idea that I saw by Rabbi Zion Fira in one of his svarim. We know there's two famous cases where someone in the Torah did a sin that he was chayav misa, and Moshe had to go ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's the case? What's going on over here? Anyone know what the cases are? The Mekal Hashem that we had recently, and one is the Mekoshesh Eitzin, it was Mechal Hashamas. So, what? That's it. Yes, very good. So Rabbi Zion Fira says, it says in the Gemara, the Mekoshesh Eitzin did it L'shem Shemayim. What was L'shem Shemayim? He said, everyone understands that a guy who curses out God, that's terrible. But he wanted everyone to know, you guess what? So is Chilul Shabbos. We would be appalled if our friends came home and said, I'm marrying out. What? You're marrying out? But unfortunately, we have friends that are Mechallel Shabbos. We're not appalled. Why not? That's what he's trying to say. I'm not saying throw rocks at a car on Shabbos. I don't know if anyone ever came from because someone threw a rock at his car because he was driving through a religious neighborhood on Shabbos. I'm not saying that. But why doesn't it bother us? It should bother us. Now, step two, how to affect the change. That's something else. Uri Zohar, probably the most famous Baal Tshuva in the state of Israel, he became frum because he spent the Shabbos with a religious family. And that's what started him thinking. He said, wow, look at this life. Look at how the kids respect their parents. Look at the conversations that happen at the table. This is something to be admired. And that's what got him to start saying, I want to go to a yeshiva. But like I said, I don't know of anyone who ever was told off and said, that's it. You told me off, now I'm going to be frum. Some reason Shana Beck guys think that's going to work. I don't know. You have to see that work. But that's sometimes what happens. Here's a far less dangerous thing than kiruv. I'm sorry, than tochacha. Teaching others Torah. There's actually, Gemara says, halomei Torah ve'ina malamdo, harehu b'chlau ki davar Hashem baza. Person who learns Torah and doesn't teach it, it's like you're disgracing God's name. We should teach. We have people that know less than us. Teach. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, the way that you are supposed to give miser of your money, he said give miser of your time and teach others. And there's all sorts of opportunities for that. They present itself opportunities all the time. There's a Mishnah Perkei Avot says, B'makom she'ein ish, hishtadel liyot ish. If you're in a place where there's no one else doing the job, then try to do the job. You don't have to be the gadol hador. If no one else is now doing something, then just try to step up to the plate. Right? I'll give Shmuel a compliment. Set up that little tzedakah drive thing. Hundreds of shekel were donated that would not have been donated over the last couple of days. There was no one doing it. And he did something. It had an effect. Did it affect everyone? No. Did it affect some people? Absolutely. Like, if there's something not getting done, and you think that this could help, just do it. This is the way I always led my life. In the community that I lived in for over 35 years, anytime I saw something that I felt needed to get done, I just did it. Sometimes because my kids were at that age. So I said, oh, I'll start doing something. Then I would continue. What did I never want to do? I was asked so many times to be on some committees. I hate committees. I have no patience to listen to people talk about their ideas. It's not good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just intolerant. You know, people are just talking about these. I think it's stupid ideas. I just get impatient. So if I feel there's something that I just do it. I don't wait for a committee. I just do it. And there's a lot of opportunities for that. Right? You could say, I had a student once who was like a black belt in karate. You have an amazing opportunity. You can go back to your community and say, all right, I'm going to do Sunday morning karate and Gemara. You know, so I'm like, okay, here we daven chakras. We'll have like a bagel breakfast that you can pay for with some of the money that they pay you for your karate thing. You have like, you teach them something at breakfast and you give them a karate class. They'll come for karate, but you got them, right? Whatever you can do. One rabbi who I knew from BMT where I went, and now I was already back in the Gruz Kolel, he hired me in the summer to run a summer camp for his kids and like their friends because he said, I know you can play ball, so do some sort of like basketball and learning summer camp. I said, great, no problem. Basketball learning summer camp. Like whatever you can do, right? But there are things that we can do. I'll tell you another cool thing. The Mishnah says, call him a zaket the rabbim. Anyone who causes people to, like, do mitzvot, ein chet ba al yado. Sin will stay away from him. So the Gemara explains, sort of like a skula. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep you away, because look how embarrassing it would be if, let's say, I don't know, you know, Shmuel goes up to Shemayim and says, God saying, wow, Shmuel, you led an exemplary life. You know, you're going right up to the best place in Olam Haba. He goes, oh, that's great. Can I go see Rav Hirshon? He's my Shana Aleph Rebbe. Ah, he's not here. Yeah, he's down there. That would be really embarrassing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep me away from sin, so that when Shmuel gets up there, he can find me. Right? That's the skula approach. The Rabbi Yonas and Eibshitz gives a much simpler, realistic approach. I would feel as a hypocrite if I'm telling guys, you know what, stay away from porn, don't fool around with the girlfriends, and now what do you find? Oh, Rabbi Hirsch was arrested because he has porn on his computer. He was having an affair with, someone. I wouldn't do it. It'd be so hypocritical. I would feel like, wow, I can't do that. Right? So it doesn't have to be a schooler. Right? It worked. You should know, this worked for me. I broke up with my girlfriend in ninth grade because she smoked. And because of that, even though there's lots of smoking in my high school, I always felt hypocritical, so I never smoked. I felt like, wow, I broke up because she smoked. I'm going to go smoke now? So I didn't do it. Not because I was from, because I just felt hypocritical. So like, if you're mazak at the rabbim, so you're like, now I'm going to go do the same thing that I told him not to do? So it helps. It helps. Tactics. Rav Chaim Volozhin said, if you can't rebuke someone gently, you're putter. Just don't do it. Goes back to that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. I'm just trying to prove to him. Gemara in Erechim. Rav Elazar ben Azariah said, I wonder if there's anyone in my generation, let alone our generation, that knows how to properly rebuke somebody. Because most people don't. We just tell the other person off, and it never works. Every rabbi I had in high school that told me off failed miserably. Just didn't work. So how do you do it? You don't embarrass them. Now, when are you allowed to embarrass? There's a couple of exceptions. The Rambam says, if this person is doing an Avera ben on the makom, like people see it, and you tried quietly, so you're allowed to call them out in public. The Mishnah Brura actually did this. The Chavetz Chaim did this. At an Aguda convention, the first Aguda convention, some rabbi got up there at this convention and publicly ripped on Rav Kook, the chief rabbi of Israel. And the Chavetz Chaim was sitting at the dais, stood up, and said, we should all tear Kriya. Someone just insulted the chief rabbi of Israel, and he walked out of the convention and refused to come back. He didn't let it pass. How many of us let things pass? We hear somebody ripping on somebody else, and we let it pass. I already embarrassed Shmuel once. I'll do it again. Once in the beginning of the year, something like this happened. He heard someone being insulted, and he didn't say anything. Came over to me afterwards, and I spoke to him. I said, yeah, you should have spoken up. And then he sent this guy this email, and the guy like apologized and whatever. He called him out. Right? You can't just let it slide. And the Chavetz Chaim publicly rebuked this guy. You can't just let it slide. And you can't let it build up because then you blow up. My son, my oldest son, who's now the calmest guy in the world, when he was like in kindergarten, he had a huge temper. And I told him, Ellie, going to first grade now. You got to control your temper. So I get a phone call from the teacher that on the third day took some kid's head, like smashed in the wall, goes, this is for today, boom, this is for yesterday, boom, this is for the day before. I thought, you know what, when you're upset, just let out right away. Whatever, you know. He was building him up, he went nuts. The truth is, the first day, he's all 6 years old. We lived about, I don't know, 10 miles from the school. The principal happened to see this little six-year-old with his backpack on, walking out of the school. The principal's running down and goes, where are you going? He goes, I'm going home. going to walk home on a highway, whatever. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, kid was annoying me. I promised my father I wasn't going to blow it. I wasn't going to lose it. I got to leave. Okay, whatever. Like I say, now he's the calmest guy. But he had that point where it's not so easy. Here's a beautiful idea. I saw this. I hope any of you read. I think you were reading it. A Tzaddik in Our Time. You read it? Good. Such a beautiful book. In A Tzaddik in Our Time, it tells this great story. A Kohen sent a shaliach to Rabbi Aryeh Levin for a heter. He wanted to marry a divorcee. So he listened all about the woman, and he convinced the shaliach, who convinced the Kohen, that she's not the right person for him. Because Rabbi Aryeh Levin knew if he just told him, you can't marry a divorcee, that wouldn't have helped. He said, she's not the right one. That he listened to. So you have to understand like how to say what to say. I once read in one of the 25 different Rabbi Twersky books that his father did this, and I did this with my kids. I read it when I was like Shana Aleph, Shana Bet. He said, my father never said, what you did is wrong. He would always say, pasnisht. Anyone know Yiddish? Pasnisht means, it's beneath you. It's beneath you. So I didn't speak Yiddish to my kids, but as my wife would always call it, you're giving them that disapproving Dan look. I would say, really? You did that? Wow. I thought you were better than that. Right? It wasn't like putting you down. It was like, you're better than that. You don't need to do that. You're much better than that. Right? Even when you give Musser, you build the person up instead of knocking the person down. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said, why we called Yehudim? Because Yehuda felt sibling responsibility. He said to Yaakov, I'll bring Binyamin back. I guarantee it. And that's our job, to worry about others. Now, how do you do it? So one guy told me a story today, and it's absolutely against from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He said there was a chayal here, and he went to go give him a cup of water. So first this guy told him, are you allowed to give him a cup of water? It's not your water to give, it's the yeshiva's. He said, really? So he called up Rav Hanan, said, can I give the chayal a cup of water? To which Rav Hanan said, obviously. So he said, okay. And he gave him a cup of water. And then the same guy said, you gave him water? How could you? How do you know if he's making a bracha? You're over on Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Mechshol. So Ezra didn't know what to tell him, but I told Ezra this now. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach had this question. He said, I have irreligious Jews that come over my house. I'm allowed to offer them food. They're not going to say bracha. And he said, absolutely, you should. Because if you don't, they'll just think you're inhospitable. They're not going to sit there and think, he's not giving me because I'm like a bracha. He's going to think, what kind of jerk doesn't offer me food? You make matters worse. Right? So we have to think about these things. You know, when we're doing things. I'll tell you, when I was in the army, I was there with all these Russians who just made Aliyah, none of them religious. And I would just say to the people, all right, they gave us, let's say, oranges. We're waiting for a class to start. I said, all right, whoever wants, I'm just going to make a bracha, you can just say amen. They make a very praise, they say amen. I'd like go and wash, I come in, and I make hamotzi, and they'd answer amen. And once I came in, and I made a bracha, and I didn't make it out loud. And the guy goes, yeah, I'm waiting for your bracha. Oh, my. I didn't realize, right? You know, they also didn't know anything. They like pick up an orange gall. You know, bracha, they're not motzi lechem and aretz, whatever. But they started to be more interested, and people started coming over to me and asking questions. I wasn't pushing it. You know, I just said, anyone who wants, whatever. Like, you have to figure out. I'll end with one last thing. Rav Soloveitchik said to me, I asked him a question. I worked on seminars for public school kids, and we had this mantra. We try to teach the guys and girls, take a mitzvah home with you. Take a mitzvah home with you. So, great, I had been an advisor, now as a head advisor. So I wanted to know, is there anything to that? So I said to Rav Soloveitchik, is there any particular mitzvah I should be pushing? And he said, no, it's exactly a Rambam, which I was surprised that Rav Soloveitchik said exactly a Rambam, but it was a Rambam Perush Mishnayis on a Mishnah in Makkos. What's the mission in Makos? Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zak Yisrael. Fichach Hirvon Torah Mitzvah. Shneimar Hashem Chavetz Matzik Deli Gdil Torah V'Yadir. Says the Rambam, what is this Mishnah saying? According to the Rambam, God gave us so many mitzvot, because if you do even one correctly, you get Olam Haba. So he said, tell the seminarians, they called people went on seminar, to take whatever mitzvah they want, but to do it meticulously, learn the rules, do it consistently, and give themselves a time limit. It could be 2 weeks, 2 months, but if you feel you can live with it, take on another mitzvah. And I feel the same thing. I don't know if I said this. I usually say in the beginning of the year, Shmuel, do you remember saying this in the beginning of the year? But I try to tell the guys that come here, Shana Alpha, same thing. We all have a list. I used to say this. Make a list of all things you need to work on this year. Now put in the order you want to work on it. And just do it one at a time. But try to do it consistently and meticulously. Try to do everything at once. You know, just too much. But what was said to irreligious people applies to us as well. And the same thing if you're trying to talk to somebody. I'll tell you the hardest people to give musa to? Family members. Don't go try and tell your parents that they're doing something wrong. Your parents change your diaper. They don't want to hear musa from you. But if you do things, they'll ask. Right? They'll ask. When they ask, then you could explain. But don't give musa. And your siblings as well. Right? And you can do different things. But, you know, the people who know you most, it's sometimes hard. But you have influence. Right? You have influence. And some of you guys are going to camp. Right? Some of you are going to ask, because that's the Nativ Aryeh, you know, way to do things. Some of you are going other places. Wherever you go, you can have an impact. You can have impact with special needs. You can have impact with regular campers. Okay? Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, who teaches here, I was his father's counselor in Camp Morasha. And I had a major impact on those guys. You know, I'm only a few years older, but you can have an impact. Right? I gave them like a little like shiur every night before I left, you know, by the curfew. I taught them a little something before I left and went out, you know, to wherever I would go, canteen, whatever I would do as a counselor. And every Shabbos afternoon, I gave them like a little shiur on whatever topic they wanted. And guys got, they grew. You can have an impact. So, tochacha means, my view now, sum it all up, is I'm responsible. I have responsibility for anyone who I can influence. How I should do it, that you should ask a question. But to come and just talk down to someone, I feel that that doesn't work. It certainly never worked when anyone talked down to me. If you come with love, I tell guys in my morning shiur, I will not give you musr until I feel that you feel I have your best interests in mind. Until that point, I'm not going to say anything because I've been talked down to and it never worked. But once you realize that when I'm telling you, you know, I don't know, Shmuel, don't do this. It's like I'm saying, Shmuel, don't drink that. It says poison in Hebrew and I understand Hebrew, you don't understand Hebrew. When you understand, oh, you try not to, you know, you don't mean to have poison, and you're saying the same thing. You're trying not to have any spiritual poison. When you understand that's all I'm trying to do, then I'll give you musr. But until that point, I won't. Right? So if the person's receptive, that's great. And if not, then it just has to come through love and through, sometimes just through the way you act. Right? If you come back and you're a better person, and your friends notice it, you're just kinder. And your parents notice it. So then people start asking questions and they start saying, wow, what did you learn in yeshiva? Right? And you start doing certain things. It can be subtle. People watch things and they approach you. They approach you. Now it's no longer you shoving anything down. It's like, if you want, I can tell you. If you want, we can learn. You know, and you can do different things. What do you want to say, Shai?
How do you give mustard to somebody who gives other people mustard?
Other people give musr to you or to others.
Musr poorly, the incorrect way.
So you should say, what is the purpose of you giving musr? What are you trying to accomplish?
He says he wants to genuinely help people.
Good. So then you could tell him, my experience as someone who's been on the other end, this doesn't make me want to do it. And in fact, it has the opposite effect. It gets me upset. It makes me feel I don't want to be like you. If becoming religious is to become like you, I don't want to be like you. So if that's your goal, you're not succeeding. If the guy just says, I want to tell you that it's wrong, I said, okay, thank you. You did a good job. Tell me what's wrong. Great. But if you think that it's that's what's going to make, because guess what? I knew it was wrong. So, like, unfortunately, people do it because they feel that's my job. But if you call them out and say, what are you trying to accomplish? And the person actually thinks, and he realizes he's not accomplishing what he was trying to accomplish, and maybe there's a chance for people to change. The saddest thing for me is every single year, Shana Aleph guys complain to me about Shana Bet guys. But guess what? All those Shana Aleph guys become Shana Bet guys. And the next year, Shana Aleph guys still complain. So what happens? I'm just saying, what happened? Wouldn't you think that the Shana Aleph guys, when now I'm Shana Bet, it's now the truth is obviously it's not all Shana Bet guys. It's not. Right? And I'm happy to say that, you know, like some of my Shana Bet students, they like say to me, because our Shir was more like group therapy than Shir, we worked on becoming better people. And because of that, let's say I had a Shana Bet guy who's Sfardi, who said he was in the Sfardi minion. It's not this year, so like don't forget who it is. You know, and he was trying to help the other Sfardi guys and encourage them to show up. And then, while he said these other guys were just, I'm in here to daven. I don't care about other people. And he said, I am glad that I have this mindset that I care about other people. So there are some Shana Bet guys who say, I'm here to learn because Rabbeinu says, be selfish, be selfish, be selfish. I had to tell off the two Hakamati twins, you know, earlier this year. I said to them, everyone tells me to be selfish. I said, you're a moron. Okay? So it doesn't mean ignore everyone else. But like it is, you can be confused because people say be selfish. So there are some Shana Bet guys, selfish. Some Shana Bet guys that I don't get a kick out of talking down to Shana Aleph guys, because maybe they were talked down to, I don't know. And there are Shana Bet guys that are good guys that either they help their Shana Aleph, so many Shana Aleph guys, it's because they're Shana Bet Chavrusa that they start getting into things. Right? You have a good Shana Bet Chavrusa, it's the best thing in the world. It's like a big brother. Right? It's the best. So there are a lot of Shana Bet guys that are great role models. And they don't even have to say anything. Just watch them. Say, this is a good guy. I want to be like him. Right? Even best if he was a jerk in high school. I had a guy come in here and go, wow, that guy's Shana Gimel. He was my dealer. He's such a tzaddik. I'm so blown away. I went over to him and said, I'm so glad you were a bum in high school because my guy would have no one to have look at the role model. But you were his best role model. You know, so like I'm saying, like sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just like act like a mensch and people say, and we know, we can point to Shana Bet guys or Shana Gimel guys that are just menches. They go, this guy's a mensch. And there's Baruch Shem Shana Aleph guys like that. And they're just good role models. You don't have to say anything. So there's lots of ways to have a good influence on people. Any other questions? All right, Yishkoyach guys. My pleasure.